independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
So he said those things under oath. Would you be willing to speak under oath to give your version of those events?
100%.
Donald Trump right there today. He begged your pardon. He never promised you a rose garden, but he was giving a little talk about Romania because the Romanian president was here. They were talking about Romanian stuff, you know, like Dracula and whatnot. And once that was done, the Q&As came flying in. And he said, 100%, I will give my testimony, whatever you guys want under oath. What do you think of them? Apples. You like apples? Those are some apples right there. What do you think of them apples? Ooh. It's not going to happen. But at least he said it, right? It's on the record now. It's on the record. Yesterday, Comey had his chance to say his piece and to put it all out there. Well, by the way, just to let you know, the Senate has gone, hey, can you get all that stuff back from your pal and give it to us, please? That's okay. Yeah, if you could do that, that'd be super. Any of that crap you put out there. I agree with the Twitter person who tweeted at me earlier said about, well, he's already leaked once. How can you trust the guy? Well, he said he leaked, but it's like everything else, right? You know, what's the old saying, Producer Phil? Like people who get caught, you know, drunk driving, it's usually not their first time that they've driven inebriated.
Or at least when they have a blood alcohol content of way more than 0.08.
Yeah, yeah. See, it's not your first time. I don't know if it's his first, but it does make you think, right? Court of public opinion makes you think. Trump had some words to say about Comey and his testimony yesterday.
James Comey confirmed a lot of what I said, and some of the things that he said just weren't true.
Weren't true. Weren't true. Some of the things he said weren't true. No. Were they true? Weren't they true? I was on the record myself saying yesterday, I believe that both men have their truth as they see it, and I think if you probably put them both under a lie detector test, I think both would probably pass. Each one of them felt a certain way about the meetings, and they saw the meetings in a different light than one another. Doesn't mean one's lying and one's not. Just means that there's a perception and a viewpoint from this person and that person that seem to be a little bit different, even though it's over a subject matter that they both should be trying to come up and figure out, which is why, in God's name, did the Russians do these kind of crazy things that we do as well? Let's not pretend that we don't. And how can we prevent this in the future from happening? And on top of that, he wanted to know about some of the other people that may have been involved in his campaign, his satellites, as he called them, and whether or not they had done something that they shouldn't have been done, and to investigate them. And of course, there's always the Flynn issue.
I didn't say that.
So he lied about that.
Well, I didn't say that. I mean, I will tell you, I didn't say that.
And did he ask you to pledge his
And there'd loyalty? Be nothing wrong if I did say it, according to everybody that I've read today, but I did not say that.
And that's about pledging the loyalty. That's about hey, Flynn, he's a good guy. You know, could we just get this thing over? Can we get this thing done? Can we get it over? And that's the real thing. This is the he said, he said. He's saying he didn't say it. Comey said he did say it. Who's telling the truth? Well, both of them can't be right. Well, they can both be right. Because it's how it was phrased. Did he say it exactly as the Comey said? I mean, if we're going to just go here and we're going to have to, and everything's got to be spot on, right? And 100%, it's, did he say it that way? Did Comey take it in a way that it wasn't meant? And even Comey said yesterday, you know, he never obstructed justice as far as, you know, telling me we had to stop. And in fact, he went further in saying that the satellites, if that's true, they need to be investigated. But a lot of it has to do with the you know, was there any collusion? Did he collude? Did he not collude? That there is the big question.
No collusion, no obstruction. He's a leaker.
He's a leaker. It's the worst, right? I don't invite people. Like, if you leak, you're probably not coming to my house. Like, if you came over and you were, like, leaking, I'm like, I have to ask you to leave. You're leaking everywhere. Comey did leak, though. Not enough's being made of that. Comey did leak. People say, well, it wasn't classified. No, it wasn't classified, but it was a private conversation between the president and him. Probably shouldn't have done that, but you CYA'd yourself. You played the political game. You're good at it. You understand politics. That's always been one of my biggest complaints about the president is he didn't surround himself at least with a few people that inside the Beltway know their way around, know who the fox is, know who the sheep are, and he didn't do that. And if you're going to be the president that you want to be and be the way that you are, and that's what I want. I want the genuine Trump. You got to take the bad with the good. Then you should surround yourself with people who can pull you back when they need to pull you back. Not because they don't think you can get something done, but just because there's ways that etiquette that you do to get things handled. And that's been one of my biggest complaints is he doesn't have anybody there that seems to be able to maneuver the way that it needs to happen there. Now, a lot's made of the tweet about the tapes. And it's going to be very interesting to see what happens because this, I'm not really sure what he's saying here.
When will you tell us about the recording?
Over a fairly short period of time.
Tomorrow now? Are there tapes, sir?
Oh, you're going to be very disappointed when you hear the answer. Don't worry.
Are there tapes? You're going to be very disappointed when you heard the answer. Well, I took the tweet that he put out in a much different way. And this is the perfect example of how you could both look at something and see something completely different. I think it was about, a year ago, 2 years ago, that dress thing that came out was the dress gray or was the dress blue? And people were... It's the same dress, right? But people are seeing two different things. The tweet, I took the tweet as, you better not be recording me, Comey, because remember, the whole thought process was that Obama had tapped him and that they had tapped the Trump Towers and that several of his then, you know, campaign people and then if people who'd become part of the transition team and stuff were all being tapped. And so I took it as, you better not have taped me, Comey. Comey took it as, you better not have taped me, Trump. How about nobody got taped? How about that right there? How about them apples? Of all the apples right there, that's them, their apples. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat at chatbensonshow.com. I love how Trump, they've got this breaking news on CNN. Trump says Comey is lying, calls him a leaker. Well, he is a leaker. I mean, he readily admit he leaked, right? I mean, didn't he readily admit that he was the one who leaked that stuff? I think so. I mean, last time I checked, he was the one who had the memos, and then he was the one who decided that he needed to take those memos and give them to a pal.
That might prompt the appointment of a special counsel, and so I asked a close friend of mine to do it.
So you leaked, right? That's not a lie. So that's good. And as far as being a liar, again, I don't think either of them are not telling the truth or, I mean, I think both of them see things in a different way. And I think both of them, their minds feel that there's the truth. But there is still no there there. No matter how much the media wants it, no matter how much the left wants it, no matter how much, there is no there there and to the point where you can go out and impeach him. Now, unless they uncover something that has not been discovered. They turn over some rock that has not been turned over, and they find something that is just damning based on the stuff that's out there at this moment, at this time, with all that we know right now. Let's get on with our lives. It's as simple as that. Let's get on with our lives. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. And this is where Trump needs to let it die. Let it go. Try to get through the things out there that people want you to do. Let's get working on the wall if you're going to build the wall. Let's get figuring out how we're going to have, you know, real immigration reform the way it should be done. Let's figure out how we're going to get this repeal and replace actually repealed and replaced, how long it's going to take, what's it going to cost, who wins, who loses. Let's deal with the regulations and the overregulations to start to see those things come into effect so businesses can feel them. Let's get going and let's get the taxes sorted out, that convoluted giant system that is a pain in everyone's ass. How about that? Let all the rest of this stuff go. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423, chat@chadbensonshow.com. You can text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Between 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. on a daily basis is when burglars do their business. It's not at night. They're not trying to break in your home at night. They want to be there when nobody's there. So who's taking care of your home? Well, if you're smart, SimpliSafe will be taking care of your home. Don't worry about what's going on at your house because you can check it 24/7, round-the-clock professional monitoring with SimpliSafe. Inexpensive, to say the least, less than $15 a month. But for that, you get the best of the best. You get entry sensors, glass break sensors, high-definition security camera, a true arsenal for all-day protection. You're going to know what's going on in your home when you're away. No long-term contracts, no hidden fees with SimpliSafe. Like I said, less than $15 a month for all of that. Go to SimpliSafe.com/Benson. Get a special 10% discount off your home security system when you order today. That's SimpliSafe.com/Benson for 10% off. SimpliSafe.com/Benson gets you 10% off. Get your home protected. Easy to set up. I'm telling you, it's the best thing you're going to do for you and your home. Jimmy Failla will join us at the bottom of the hour. He writes for old Kennedy out there at Fox Business. He's also a comic. We'll talk about all things that happened, not only with Comey, but also with Kathy Griffin. American Dream. What's next for the millennial version of the American Dream? It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
The American Dream changes. At least it's starting to. Read a great article that said, you know, you buy a house, right? You get married, you buy a house, you start a family. It's the American dream. And somebody in the article said, yeah, if you haven't had a different dream since the 50s. And that's very true. The millennials have a much different viewpoint of what an American dream is. And I've talked about it on numerous occasions that they don't want to be anchored down. I think they'll be homeowners, but the difference between, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago is they're not going to be homeowners until their 40s, 50s. And they're probably going to own a place and that's it. They're not going to work their way up. Several reasons for that, some of which they say is a cause of what they went through. They saw their parents and their grandparents struggle with the housing collapse is one of them. The other one is they're coming out of school already with house payments in the form of education. It's a shifting, changing world. And what's next for the millennials and their American dream is they're not going to have kids at the rate that baby boomers did and even Gen Xers did. They may have a child and it will be later. They are not going to be homeowners the way that other generations were. They're going to move around a bit more. They're not going to be long-term employees at many different companies because they want to do many different things. And while pay is important, it's also about how you look doing something and what you do and how it makes you feel. Their American dream is different. Doesn't mean it's less American. It's just a very different way that they're going to do things. And I don't blame them for that. I think what's next for America when it comes to the American dream is everybody has their own dream. It's funny, when I see people come here from different parts of the world and they come to America, they have that American dream that your grandfather and grandmother had, that your great-grandfather and grandmother had, that your mother and father had, that maybe even you had, a lot more than a younger generation. This younger generation is shaping their own world, and that's fine because we all cut our own path. The difference is their path is far different. We had a piece of our grandmother and grandfathers, that greatest generation, the baby boomers, the Gen Xers. We all kind of had a foot in each other's generation as far as the dreams and the things that we wanted. Millennials, not so much. They're doing their own thing. That's okay. That's what makes this world a beautiful place. Doesn't mean it's wrong. Doesn't mean it's right. It's just their own thing. But what I will notice, we'll tell you that I notice, is that when I do talk to people like that, they all eventually want to have that place that they call home because they see it as a wealth builder. But it's going to take time. And it's also going to take the time to pay off all of the debts that a good portion of these people who will be homeowners one day, they're going to have. I mean, they're coming out of college with six figures. Depending on where you live in the country, that's expensive, right? That is a home. That is a condo somewhere. You're living in California and you got six figures in debt. Chances are you just got debt. You don't got a home. And you ain't buying a home for $100,000. Other parts of the country, you can. Their American dream is going to be theirs. It's uniquely theirs. What's next for them is they're going to do it their way. But I bet you that along the way, they'll slowly but surely become more and more and more and more of what we recognize as that American dream as they get themselves out of certain debts and then, luckily for us, back into other debts by becoming homeowners. But it's going to be later in life, not in your 20s or 30s. It'll be in your 40s and 50s. And instead of building their way up through, hey, I bought a small home and then a little bit bigger and then a bigger home, they will build a home and that will be their home. That's what's next for the millennial American dream. 844-DIG-CHAT, 844-344-2423. Chat at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program, 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Jimmy Failla, he writes for Kennedy on Fox Business News. He's a stand-up comic. Does all kinds of stuff. He's going to join us next. We're going to talk about Comey, Kathy Griffin, all kinds of stuff. He's going to give us a spin and perspective from what I think is the best show of all the talking head shows on cable news, which is the Kennedy Show. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That combination of things I'd never experienced before, but it led me to believe I got to write it down, and I got to write it down in a very detailed way.
James Comey yesterday before the world, speaking as he did. Oh, my God, the biggest news in the history of all mankind. That's all that happened yesterday. No other news happened. Look, when we need to turn to an expert who understands things, there's only one person to turn to. Comedian and writer on The Kennedy Show, Jimmy Failla, joins us. Jimmy, what'd you think of what happened?
Hey, man, great to hear from you again, buddy. It was a good show from a sense of, you know, entertainment value. But Comey, oddly enough, I mean, I know yesterday was supposed to be the end of Trump. It might have been the beginning of the end of Loretta Lynch. It was certainly the end of this BS Russian narrative that Trump colluded with the Russians. Can we put that one to bed already?
You know what? I would like to put it to bed, but I don't think we can. We can't put it.
You want to know what it is?
It's never going to be put to bed.
What it will take is for them to gin up another fake scandal that they can hang their hats on for a few months. Because what we learned yesterday is this isn't about, you know, the Democrats aren't worried about improving anybody's life or governing or anything like that. This is about delegitimizing Trump. This is about an ongoing effort to undermine, you know, and relitigate the 2016 election. Which is crazy because you remember how concerned they were in the last presidential debate at the idea that Trump said he'd have to wait and see if he'd honor the election results. And we were told that was horrifying. That was the worst thing that could ever go on in this democracy. And here we are, you know, 6 months later with them having invested literally every second of their day in the last 6 months telling us that there was something wrong with this vote. So I think if they come up with a new thing, Like, I don't know, maybe Trump sold the steroids to Barry Bonds back in the day or something. Like, we need a new scandal to link him to, and then I think we could move on from this one.
Talking to Jimmy Failla, writer on Kennedy's show, stand-up comic, all-around good guy. You know, how did you guys – I was talking earlier, you know, Theresa May, she kind of got her ass handed to her yesterday in the British elections over there in the UK. She's got to form a coalition, and I was saying, look – most people, I think, nowadays are fine with pro-choice. They're fine with marriage equality. I think a third party would be great in this country. And I think a third party would have been a perfect place yesterday to have people that weren't invested in the one side or the other side, but actually in the truth. How did you guys take it on, this whole Comey thing, over with, you know, at Kennedy and as you guys deal with all this stuff? Because I think that's the best show on television when it comes to the reality of where most people are living their lives.
Yeah, because we're like a politically sober show, where we're not really hamstrung by some type of extreme partisan bias. And I think you make a good point, is that on a case-by-case basis, the average America isn't that Republican and they're not that Democrat. They're kind of ordering a la carte from each party platform, you dig? And I think in digesting Comey, what we were trying to give the public was, hey, this is the reality of what went on yesterday. That Comey testimony was supposed to be, did Trump collude with the Russians? That's the big charge here. So we were very upfront about addressing the fact that there's no evidence, you know, proving that Trump obviously colluded with the Russians. Comey did, in fact, tell Trump three times that he wasn't under investigation, which was Trump's claim that everybody said couldn't possibly be true. And we honed in on the Loretta Lynch thing, because if you want to talk about, I don't know, not necessarily obstructing justice, but manipulating a witness, so to speak, or at least colluding on a probe, you know, Loretta Lynch telling James Comey how to address an investigation in the media is a pretty bad one. Like, I'm amazed it didn't get more mileage today, but then again, I'm not amazed, because it's so damaging to the left that why would they traffic in that headline? So I guess what we've been doing, if this is, I guess, the best way to say it, is we've kind of been pointing out why you're seeing the storylines you're seeing on specific news outlets, and why. Like, if you were on a pro-Trump network last night, or at least a network that's trying to be objective and fair, they'd have to say that, yes, Comey's testimony kind of exonerated Trump of pretty much everything he's being accused of, except the guy who, you know, has some very loose conversations and is known to contradict himself from time to time. And that would be, you know, that'd be a fair assessment of what went on yesterday. And also that, you know, Comey's a little bit of a wormy guy, and that Comey's leaking information to the press, which, you know, could wind up getting him subpoenaed. But on a lot of other networks, I mean, CNN, MSNBC being great examples, last night they walked away from that hearing as if Trump is about to do life in prison. You know, the fate of the union is hanging in the balance right now. He's a liar. You know, it was crazy. We've gotten to this point where people's emotions have become facts. And the fact that people want Trump to be guilty of something, the fact that people want to undermine Trump, in their heads, that qualifies as a legitimate reason to get rid of the guy. It's bizarre. Like, I have an 8-year-old son, and it's weird that I'm having more advanced intellectual conversations with him than I would be with most cable news network anchors in prime time. It's weird, isn't it?
Talking to Jimmy Failla, comic and writer on the Kennedy Show over there in Fox Business. You know, you talk about Trump. He's loose with the way he is, Jimmy. And you're an East Coast kind of guy, as we can tell. You know, it's not absurd to think that this guy is he's kind of got that kind of New York or Queens mentality. Like, he wants to shake your hands. He may be a billionaire, but he wants to look you in the eyes. He wants to talk to you. He's not this. He doesn't follow the same kind of etiquette that these people are used to, because they're all lawyers. And lawyers tell you what? Never to talk to anybody.
Well, yes, and that's the thing that's driving people crazy, you know, in the on the political spectrum, is that, yeah, he doesn't have that fake decorum where you've got to read between the lines on everything he's saying. He's not speaking in legalese. He's communicating at a third grade level, which is accessible, and it's something people find refreshing because they don't need it so dressed up, you know. But what's funny is people try to discredit him by saying that he's speaking on such an elementary level, in some instances like a crass street level. But then at the same time, they want him held accountable for that. But then they also want to make it sound like, you know, if he says something they don't like, that he's actually communicating on a much higher level that's guilty of something. Like, to give you a good example, if he told Comey, I hope this Flynn thing goes away, I hope this Flynn thing goes away, he's like, yeah, it'd be nice if it would happen. That's him communicating on a third grade level the way they accuse him of. But they want to now, they want us to now believe that was something far more nefarious, like a direct order to Comey. And this guy that we know speaks in blunt force trauma. There's no reading between the lines. When a president says BuzzFeed is a failing pile of garbage, there's no additional analysis needed. You know what I mean? Trump doesn't speak in terms that require, you know, he's not like a Clinton. You know, the Clintons speak in legalese. Very ambivalent things get said because they never know when they're going to have to, you know, repeat what they just said under oath. Trump's not doing that. I find it refreshing. And to be honest with you, I think it's still resonating with the electorate because there have been so many charges thrown at him in the course of, you know, his time in office that we've kind of become tone deaf to it in that his base isn't going anywhere. And there's a general fatigue amongst people who are against him because they're just tired of being told everything is the end of the world. You know, the climate change deal, which was a non-binding deal, no penalties for any countries, nothing in terms of sanctions on China, who leads the league in every major offensive category. Like if you had a fantasy pollution draft, like they do with fantasy football, China is the Tom Brady every year in the draft. He's the guy you want that's going to put up numbers. This climate change deal had nothing to hold China accountable, but everybody ran out last week like Trump had just, you know, taken a dump on the planet. Because that's the intellectually lazy narrative they were fed that they could run with. So I think
I know you got to jump. One quick thing I want to ask you. What's your take on last week with Kathy Griffin? And then I'm going to let you jump, man, because I know you're busy.
Yeah, I thought the press conference was more offensive than the joke, or at least what she claimed to be a joke. Because the joke, there was no punchline. It was not like, here's a setup and the punchline is a severed head. There was no attempt at humor. I get what she was trying to do. She wanted to be relevant. She didn't think she could possibly face backlash for criticizing Trump because so many people have gotten away with it. You know, Colbert obviously getting away with a lot. But what I thought was offensive is like when she had the press conference and she reached into the social justice grab bag for every social justice term, straight white male, this would never happen to a woman, these old white men that have been signing my checks, you know, presidents never do this. I thought that was more offensive because it was a calculated attempt to prey upon these little culture wars that we keep fighting and dividing the country. I thought that was more divisive than anything. But I guess the person I felt the worst for is probably your agent. You know, if you're looking for a drinking buddy this weekend, I'd imagine Kathy Griffin's agent's down to have a few pops.
His name's Jimmy Failla. He is a comic, of course, funny indeed, and he's a writer with Kennedy over there. We know you're busy today. Appreciate you coming on, man, and giving us your unique perspective, and we'll talk to you soon, brother.
Definitely, definitely. Thanks, Chad. I'll see you soon, man. Bye-bye.
You know what? He's spot on. And man, it's so spot on about the third grade way that he talks to people and the way that the rest of them, the Clintons, he's so right about that with the Clintons, right? Because the Clintons know that everything they say can and will be held against them potentially in a court of law. And that's the way they think. They're so careful in crafting their words and they try to say something that makes you go, It's like when you go see a therapist and they'll say, well, how do you feel about that? Oh, yeah. No, you. What do you think? Because they want you to go, They want you to make up your mind. They don't want to make up your mind for you. They want you to make up their mind and how you think it. If you thought it meant this, then that's what it thought. If you thought it meant that, then that's what it thought. Either way, it could go any way. And either way, I am not culpable in any of this stuff. Where Trump is straightforward and honest. The one thing it's funny, he gets accused of being the biggest liar in the world, but he probably tells the most truth out of all of the politicians. And he's easily the most emotional of them all. Because I think when you get ready to become a politician, they find the part of you that has any kind of emotion or reactionary, and then they take it away. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423, Chad at ChadBensonShow.com. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. Chad Benson.
call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
The what? I'm looking at the new sports. Say what? That they're going to be in the 2020 Olympics. They added 3-on-3 basketball, producer Phil. So 5-on-5 is not enough. They're going to add 3-on-3 basketball in an effort to make the games more youthful and add an urban appeal. An urban appeal. And I'm just like, really? It's like 3-on-3? Why not just have 1-on-1 basketball? How great would that be? Just 1-on-1. If you really want to go young, look at this. You know, they're doing smart things. You know what? They are. They're doing smart things. I think the 3-on-3 should be only limited to complete amateurs, and why not have a dunk contest? I think that's kind of cool. That'd be kind of interesting. Might as well, right? They've added some other stuff, though, that I think is smart. I said that if you're going to try to get younger and hipper in the Olympics, because that's the Olympics are your parents, your grandparents. I watch some of the Olympics. We laugh at it. Phil and I are going to try to medal next time. In 2020, in the bow and arrow thing. I don't know if it's called bow and arrow. I'm probably not right, but that's kind of what it is. Archery? I like bow and arrow. Sounds better. We're going to do the bow and arrow thing. They've added, though, BMX, which I thought was cool. Like, take some of the X Games. They added skateboarding, which is cool. And they added something called sports climbing, which I'm not quite sure what that is. But I told Jim Kennedy, who's going to join us next hour, he's in here. And I said, dude, if they're smart, they'd add parkour. That's kind of cool. Like, you can have synchronized swimming. You could dig the soccer balls. Those guys do all the tricks with the soccer balls. You could add that stuff to it. Like, you know, have, you know, synchronize those guys doing tricks with the ball. So if you want to get younger, then do something like that. They're also putting karate back in. And they're good. This is what I thought was also very cool. They're going to have mixed races. And I'm not talking about the color of your skin. I'm talking about actual races where you're competing against one another. In swimming, they're going to have 4x100 gender mixed races. And in track, they're going to have 4x400 gender mixed events, meaning you run 100 yards, or you run 400 yards, you hand it off man to woman, then woman to man to woman, whatever. It's going to be very cool. I like that. That I find kind of say, what, kind of cool. Like, that's a cool thing. Because I would totally be all, like, up in that. She's a fitness blogger. Her name's Morgan McKenness. Not everybody's thrilled by her. Here's her words.
Thank you for putting your hate out towards me because it's made me a better person. And beauty is your own choice, how you define it. If you like to shave your legs, you like the feeling of smooth, hairless legs, then shave your legs. Just do it for you. I believe that you have a superpower, and your superpower is self-confidence. Don't let anyone control how you feel about yourself.
Sorry, fitness blogger Morgan McKenness, or whatever your name is we've taken a vote, and the ladies, we prefer them smoothie. We do. We prefer the smooth. That's just me, right? And she's got a great body. That's fine, but I can't get past the fact that she looks, you know, she's the hair. I just can't do it. I can't get past it. Maybe some other people can. Not my kink. Maybe some other kink. I'm just throwing it out there. Not trying to be a jerk. 844-DIG-CHAD. Eric in Indy, you want to talk about millennials and the housing issue?
The show recently, there was a guy on there that said that part of what caused the housing crisis is the fact that the greatest generation and the baby boomers are actually larger than the millennials, and the fact that the millennials weren't buying houses anymore. As the baby boomers and the greatest generation started selling their houses, it flooded the market and there weren't enough buyers coming up. And that was what caused the prices to come down in addition to all the predatory lending and all the foreclosures and everything. And I just wanted to see what you thought about that.
Yeah, you know what? There's a portion of that. There is a portion. I mean, there's a portion of all of this that is true. But the one thing that you can't skip is the fact that there are so many of them coming out with so much debt that to take on another $100,000 or $200,000 would be ridiculous at that point in time in their life. And it's going to be a while before they pay down that debt and they feel comfortable enough to purchase a home. Plus, they want to travel and they don't want the responsibility of owning a home. When you talk to a lot of them, is they don't want to do the work. They don't want to fix anything. They just want to be able to go, hey, my sink doesn't work, and have somebody come do it and them not have the hassle. But there's a lot of things that go into it. And remember, they are the biggest generation. Thanks for your call, brother. I appreciate that. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. There's so many things when it comes to this younger generation. And I was talking to somebody the other day, and she was saying that, you know, she went to school like 25 years ago, that where she went to school, it was like $350 a quarter. Now it's like to get out of school where she used to go, it's like $75,000. What do you, I mean, how do you expect kids to pay for everything? And are they getting $75,000 worth of education? That's also something that we need to ask. Are you getting what you paid for? Which is one thing I think is not being asked by a lot of these people in this world of you know, education, is are you getting your dollars worth? Because you're paying a lot. 844-DIG-CHAD, 844-344-2423. It's the Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.